I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power 365 show. Today's guest, amazing, you know, designer within the Microsoft engineering team. And we unpack, you know, the need for design in Power App development and why it's important and why we need to go further than what's currently there at the moment. Anyhow, let's have a listen. Today's guest is from Kirkland, Washington in the United States. He's a principal program manager at Microsoft. He was one of the first app makers, so he's been doing this for a while. You can find him on Twitter at Slowest. Welcome to the show, Mehdi Slowest Underlusi.
Hey, you got a few things wrong there, but that's okay.
So correct me. What
I am right. I'm in Seattle, not Kirkland. Mm-hmm. I used to be in Kirkland, and it's gotcha. Slowy, not Slowist, but that's no big deal, so.
Oh, so isn't, but your Twitter handle, S-L-A-U-I-S-T, right?
Yeah, this was like, I don't know how many years ago. So Slowist was not available, so I must have done Slowist for some reason. I don't know. By the way, you're editing stuff, so I want to know how much, you know, like, is this a live recording now? Are you going to be cutting this? Or that way I manage your editing post-production editing. I don't wanna interject in that case. So.
Yeah. So no, we're definitely not live. But
I know you're not live. I'm just saying, like, what's the problem? Are you gonna that 10 seconds? Was it gonna be? Was it a try run, or are we gonna take this recording and then start shopping it?
So I'm gonna use that recording. That will be fine. That'll be fine. All this little bit of banter and everything, this is all good, because I don't want it to be like a very formal, it's not like a formal technical interview as such. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Good. Okay, good. Cool. Okay, so I always like to find out from guests coming on the show, and it helps the audience understand who you are. Tell me about family, food, and fun. What do they mean to you?
Yeah, right. So, first of all, I was born in Casablanca, Morocco. So... people might know the movie Casablanca, but that's where I was born. Family, I'm big on family. I spent a lot of time back in Morocco. So for me, keeping in touch with my parents, my sister, my brother, everyone is super important. So that's core to mm-hmm. what I do. That's my priority one. I have 2 kids now. Mm-hmm. I'm married. So living in Seattle, Washington, as you mentioned. Food. I love Italian food in general. But mm-hmm. Being from Morocco, where we have a bit of a mixture of cultures from the Jewish and Arab influence and Berber, mm-hmm. so like things like couscous, pastilla, things I love eating, I guess. So that's nice. Kind of what I love. But and fun, I think surfing. Surfing is a new discovery that we made during COVID time. So mm-hmm. I was stuck, quote unquote, in Morocco during the early stages of COVID. So we discovered surfing, and it's really, really addictive. And we've been surfing since then. It's harder in Washington State, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I like fixing my boat, which is always broken, but boating in general is something that I like to do, so that's
awesome. Casablanca is one of those places I've always wanted to go, from seeing the famous movie years ago, of course, and I don't know, it reminds me of things like Arabian Nights. It must be an amazing place.
It is actually more exotic for people who haven't been there. It's a great city, to be honest, but it's not like in the movies. It's a huge city, right? I mean, outside Casablanca is amazing. We have you know, amazing towns in Morocco. Casablanca is the big metropolitan, you know, city. If you want something unique, you want to go a bit south of Morocco, you know, close to the desert, or, you know, there are some cool cities like Marrakech or Agadir. Those are nice places in Morocco to hang out. But Casablanca is great too.
The closest I have got is Gibraltar.
And
we wanted to go on, but our itinerary just didn't allow, you know, to get across there. And so it's definitely a place I will go to at some point.
Well, I'll be happy to host you there if you get there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope this virus, you know, gets dealt with properly and we can travel much more freely. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you get into technology?
I think my first computer, we had the Amiga 500 Commodore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that computer. So that was very early, like in the mid 90s, I guess. And that was my introduction. I loved that machine. We did graphics, 3D graphics back at the time. It was, you know, video editing. So I think that's the my I did even programming, game programming with a language called Amos. I loved it, and I spent a lot of my teenager years in front of the Amiga. So that's how I got into technology, I guess.
Wow. Okay. And then, what was your journey into Microsoft?
Microsoft. I went to McGill University in Canada, Montreal. So where I did my computer engineering, and Microsoft was my first company. I was fresh out of college. I got hired into Microsoft Game Studios, and was surrounded with a lot of you know, gamers. I wasn't a gamer. I was someone who always loved graphics. I came from a family of artists and designers, and and I wanted to really do something closer to graphics, and gaming was where I landed first. So, and go ahead.
So that took you into Microsoft. You know, tell us about those early days in the Power App space.
Yeah, so I did spend quite a bit of time in this consumer product in Microsoft, but for Power Platform, that was really my first time. So I did a few things at Microsoft that has to do with, you know, shipping consumer apps and mobile experiences that were designed in such a way that they were engaging and pixel perfect, worked with designers. But Power Platform was my first, you know, try at business apps in general. So it was a bit accidental. My first trial of the product was underwhelming. I came from a development background, so I was at the time building quite a bit of apps, and then the early days of Power Apps, they were, you know, my first introduction to the product was, you know, limitations, you know, getting out of my comfort zone, and but slowly and surely I came to love the product, and I never looked back at other platforms, I guess. So
what was it like in the very early start of this concept, you know, within Microsoft? What was the feeling of folks involved in it, and did you picture it getting as large as what it's getting to now? And I mean, we're still even in early days at the moment.
Yeah. So for me, there was some excitement because once I get past the limitations and really kind of thinking about it from a different angle and perspective, it's just like boosting your productivity. The fun part for me on these early days is really finding solutions to problems that are not yet solved out of the box, right? So how do you do a drop shadow? How do you do a menu system, right? How do you actually build something that that feels and behaves like the way, you know, you would build a, you know, a professional application? So the notion of components, even if it didn't exist, how do you do something as close as possible? How do you, you know, for me, there's a new set of challenges and problems to be solved in a way that made it very appealing, I guess. So, early days, a lot of struggle, a lot of, like, you know, helping every single customer going and solving problems that, you know, the product
was catching up pretty fast, but in the early days, like, you know, you were on your own solving some difficult problems. So that's, but yeah, it was exciting time, still exciting time, but the product has grown and I still feel there is, you know, there's quite a bit to be done, but I'm, you know, excited about what's coming as well. So,
yeah. So, you know, when, you know, I've been in, I've been going to Seattle since 2012 every year until this pandemic, a couple of times a year, and you know, engage from Dynamics part of the business, the CE space, and then seeing this all come alive, the Power Platform, Power Apps, Power Automate, etc. And I always feel like, you know, the Microsoft teams are very strong on the developer side, the dev component. But sometimes I feel that the bit that's missing is really that design element, you know, the the tooling, providing the tooling for designers. Do you see that changing in time and more color coming to what a designer can do rather than a pure, you know, somebody coming from a lens of a developer when they look at the app build story?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of there's a big opportunities, you know, here in this space, because like you know, this low code revolution, it's all about productivity and getting to the finish line you know, faster, being productive. And I think there is opportunity for developers to get closer to, you know, and, you know, to design, to the design world, knowing about design concept, because we're not in a world where you cannot necessarily have the luxury of having a design team, UX, you know. So developers, in my opinion, have some work to do to get closer and understand some of the basic design principles. And for designers, there is opportunities to kind of sure, I mean, their tooling today is amazing, like when you talk about Figma or Adobe XD, you know, Power Apps Studio is not it does not offer the same range of capabilities, but it will be amazing and an amazing opportunity for designers to come to the studio and be and build their experience themselves and ensure that vision they have, the experience they have, is gonna be what ships. And it is, after all, still a drag and drop. You have design concepts within Studio, and there are a lot of options and options there, and there's a lot of things that they can do within Studio. So so that's first part of the questions. And Microsoft, yes, I agree. There is room for, you know, in my opinion, again, we are technically, there is a lot of, you know, strong technical focus in general, and
yes,
but design has actually been surprisingly something that is not anymore an afterthought. So there is a lot of, for example, if you take Studio today and the whole actually maker experience, there is quite a bit, and I see it, of designers involved and making sure the experience is great. Where sometimes I feel like we need to do a little bit more is in that last part that you mentioned. Like, how do we ensure that actually app makers that are coming or, you know, to the platform build actually beautiful and good looking apps? It's not just the studio experience that is important, the app maker, but the final output, which is the actual app. And there is, in my opinion, a lot of rooms there. For example, we have the default template of Power Apps, right? The components, the controls that we ship out of the box, you know, luckily they are being redesigned right now and we'll have something, you know, more in line with Fluent Design and, you know, but there is a lot to, you know, to be done in even in that, you know, side of the equation. How can we ensure that the final output, the app is, you know, snappy, it has, you know, maybe we should imagine things around like, you know, transition and animation, you know, things that don't exist right now in the product. So
So what are your thoughts on design and the importance in, you know, the importance that design plays on things like user experience and either as well as user adoption of an app?
No, I think it's crucial. I think people make up their mind within the first few milliseconds of their interaction with an app. So, and I think psychologically something happens there. If things are not right, they can maybe point the finger at what's wrong. But but that experience from then on is not the same as it could have been, unless that user experience, user design is solid. So for me, it's kind of personal as well, because again, I grew up in that, you know, with a bit of design in a design environment where color, you know, theories was important and all that stuff, and it just hurt my eyes personally when an app is not does something to my core. Yeah. But I think people naturally have some resistance, and they get irritated with apps that don't follow certain basic principles of design. For me, it's important.
Do you think we could get to the point, you know, if you look at a gaming app or even an app like, you know, like Netflix or anything like that, which generally you don't need a manual, they're intuitive, you don't need a, you know, a how-to document to go with them.
Yeah.
Do you think we could get to the point that business apps, and I'm not talking specifically here around the Power Platform, but just the trajectory that technology is on, do you think we could get to the point that business applications could become addictive? In other words, they're designed so good that people wouldn't, you know, there wouldn't be a resistance to not using the tech. There would be an open arm embrace to use the tech because it just makes their life so much easier. It makes them more productive without them feeling like, oh, this is something I have to do, or this is a tool I have to use, but it's clunky, it doesn't work the way I'd like it to. Do you think we're going to get there?
I think we have no choice. If our business users are spending the rest of their day at home in this amazing, you know, experiences, they will come to expect the same thing from their apps, their business apps. So we have to head there, and I think it's a matter of time. I think before that happens, there needs to be more emphasis in bringing this app maker concept, right? Which is, you know, it's not only a developer in it, right? It's also a design, you know, like there is education, I guess, and work to be done to bring in the culture of UX and UI and all that stuff in the app making process, and have that be as important as the as the functionality maybe itself. So
Are you seeing anything that kind of jumps to mind, and you don't have to mention names, organizations, or anything like that, but that are doing some amazing stuff in the you know, particularly the Canvas app, where you've got a lot more control of how that UI functions? Is anything jumping to mind that you're going, yeah, these guys get it, or they're getting to that point, or, you know, what was the app that you've seen created and that you see going well?
I mean, in terms of platforms, I think we have a little bit. I feel we, you know, it's a hard question. I nothing comes to mind in terms of a platform doing this today. The Canvas concept is unique, I guess, in many ways to the way at least it's done. I see other platforms that are really have a visual language as is advanced, things like material design or when it comes to actually giving that full freedom of and that pixel perfect at Canvas, that's where the constraint comes into equation, because it's really hard to keep it so open-ended and yet ensure that whatever is being produced is up to that, you know, artistic level and design level that we want for apps. So nothing comes to my mind, but I'm sure there is people that
No, are that's interesting. That's interesting. Tell me about, I was going to ask you about the Power Apps code review tool, but before we jump there, can you, you know, Ignite, we've seen some great announcements, and one of them was, of course, natively running apps on iOS and Android.
Yeah.
Have you been across that in detail, and what's your view?
Oh, it's very exciting for me. I've dreamed of that for a while because I know how hard it is to build iOS and native apps, Android apps. I built some and it takes a while and it's hard. It's not easy. The idea that you could do it in Power Apps and package it and ship it is just going to open up the field for so many people with bright ideas. That are today having hard time putting this idea to reality. So because it's just hard, I came across and I had my own business for a while. I came across many startups that had bright ideas but couldn't implement. It was just hard to implement. So for me, that is a very exciting area, and I think it would change things.
Do you think that there's going to be quite a switch across the ecosystem where people that have traditionally used the Power Apps wrapper, you know, that's automatically deployed, that you can download and deploy on iOS and Android? Do you think that people are going to switch now to a pure, more the native iOS or Android apps?
Well, conceptually, I mean, for me, I would have. I think the platform needs to match the level of performance and optimization that you see with native apps, right? Like, and we're gonna get there. It just for consumer apps, the bar is really high. But for people that are, taking, getting off the ground, they have an idea they want to put to market, and and if it's done right, I wouldn't want to go any other platform just for how fast you can go to market. So
Exciting times. What was your involvement in the Power Apps code review tool?
So the code review tool, Power Apps is amazing again, but when you put it in the hand of an entire planet, there are there is things that need. So I'm involved on a regular basis doing code reviews, performance optimization, and I've done that for the last 4 years. I think I must have reviewed like thousands of apps. So the process is actually manual. There's quite a bit of things that you need to do to look at every single property, maybe every single line of code, and I'm talking Canvas code here, Canvas apps. So the code review tool is a way to automate that process. So if you have the tool and it's open source now, anyone can download it, and you could actually upload your app. It will automatically flag all of the patterns that are best practices that not followed. It will give you a score. It will basically assess your app in a way that would take probably hours to do manually. We look at, for example, how what kind of code you have in your app start, so that if you're loading data that you don't need to load in that initial time, it will flag that for you. So it does a lot of things beyond what the app checker does in Studio, but more importantly, it's a consistent way to review apps for an organization, and you can actually, as an app is being developed, you can follow kind of like how well it follows certain best practices and optimization. My involvement was to build the tool with a partner, with a friend. His name is Rémi Delaboise. He's in France, and the tool was really, really a way for us to kind of speed up our code reviews. And I'm glad that lots of organizations are using it today, surprisingly.
What recommendations do you have for people around app, Power App development, around things like performance optimization and best practice?
I think there's a lot to say around performance and optimization. I think if you're building a Canvas app, and this is again opinion here, but if you're building your app and you feel like it's getting complicated, you're probably in the wrong in the wrong you know you probably need to think about it. So minimize complexity. Today we have ways to do in you know com you know you could delegate things to something on the server, right? Run, you know, maybe do some execution server side, or build components that abstract some of the complexity. Keep your app simple. You know, if you see that you're doing too much logic, you know, loops and for alls and things like that, you probably there are probably ways that that are better to reduce your number of controls that you have on the screen, and you know, like be minimalistic a little bit, as you know. But at the same time, I've seen complex apps that are pre-performed in the platform, and it's just about making sure that you're following some of the best performance guidelines that that are out there.
I like it. I like it. Any resources that you recommend folks, you know, following this podcast, go out, look at, you know, get familiar with? Perhaps there's devs on the call, or, you know, listening here that haven't thought so much about design. Is there anything that they could kind of educate themselves to make them aware, and where, you know, they perhaps should involve designers more in their app build?
Yeah, I think there's some amazing resources out there for someone who wants to know the basic principles of design that are, you know, they're not, you know, they are power platform agnostic in that sense, right? So, you know, learning the, you know, basics of layout and you know, alignment, spacing, all of the concept that the designer might have, I think is a useful useful thing to have in your arsenal as an app maker. On the platform itself, there are a few design resources. There are blog posts if you you know, that specifically talk about some of the design you know, best practices. There is yeah, I mean, that's what I can think of. I can follow up with you on a few more resources there. But
that's cool. We'll throw them in the show notes. I really liked your, you know, you mentioned a visual language, and really, you know, how can organizations build in a visual language as part of their development practice? I think that's so, so important. But our time draws to a close, and I always like to wrap up with some quick fire questions. But before we go there, who else should I talk to in Microsoft? And to perhaps get them on the show and get their insights and their knowledge, or perhaps that they work in a unique area that you can recommend.
So I think you talked to everyone already now, Kevin. my colleague Phil Topness, I don't know if you interviewed him, if he was on your show before. You did?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, we have...
He might have recommended you, you know. He might have recommended you, I have a feeling.
Maybe. Let me see. There is a lot of bright people on the PowerCat team and outside. So there is... I was more going to advise you, like... okay. So at Microsoft, maybe just to... in France, so I worked quite a bit in France with amazing resources there and amazing people there. So I was going to go with an MVP that I know. But within Microsoft, there is...
Which MVP? I'm quite happy to
Emmanuel Gallis. Do you know him? Yep. Emmanuel Gallis. So for me, I have great respect for his work. He's very creative. I would love to know him more. So that's why I want you to podcast him.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll look them up. Okay, here's some quick fire questions. I always like to wrap up with some random questions, so let's see how you go with these. Here's your first one. What's your dream job if money didn't matter? Oh, have I still got you?
You still got me.
did you get that one? What's your dream job if money didn't matter?
I am trying to think of something here. Like, you got me here.
So money, that's cool. If it doesn't jump to mind, that's okay.
Let's go. It will come at the end. So you'll do your magic.
What stereotype do you live up to? I love this, that you have to think about it, that it doesn't roll off your tongue.
Yeah. Stereotype live up to. Well, it's not just a story. I mean, I am extremely disorganized person, so I'm so I lived up to that, and it's
I like it.
You know, it has to do with the creative side of things, so I don't know.
Final question. What country is still on your bucket list that you haven't visited yet but want to?
Oh, there's many. I think somewhere in Latin America, I think Argentina, Chile. I think these are places I would love to
nice.
See.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Very nice. Mehdi, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was fun.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP, Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If you like the show and you want to be a supporter, please go to buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. Otherwise, have a great day.